You know what the difference is between try and triumph? A little oomph. I know it's probably too early in the day for a dad joke, but that is one of my all-time favorites. And it's a reminder to me about what it takes to succeed as an entrepreneur. Most people who succeed as an entrepreneur aren't smarter or more skilled than everyone else. Most of the time, they just outworked, out-hustled, and outlasted everyone else. Sometimes winning is just about getting up one more time. That's what today's guest learned in her many entrepreneurial ventures. I'm excited for her to share her perspective on what it takes to succeed as an entrepreneur. I really think you're going to enjoy this one. Let's kick it. It's not so good right now.
Feeling so good right now. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the Scope of Practice podcast, where we help busy healthcare professionals learn to manage their businesses successfully and master their personal finances. Now, here's your host, Dr. Brent Lacey.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for the Scope of Practice podcast, where you can get the knowledge and resources you need to grow your leadership skills, your business, and your personal finances. Welcome to episode 94. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. And also hit the button at the top of the podcast player to turn on the automatic downloads. So that way you can listen to these episodes anytime, anywhere, even if you're in a place that doesn't have good service. Also, don't forget, the podcast is now eligible for Category 1 CME credits, and it's free. Just click the link in the podcast description or go to www.thescopeofpractice.com/podcastCME to download your CME credits for free. Our sponsor for today's podcast is Doc2Doc Lending. If you attended the recent Marriage and Money MD Summit, you'll remember the great presentations we had from Dr. Kenton Allen and Dr. Josh Lumley. They are leaders of Doc2Doc Lending. They are physicians who created this company to facilitate personal loans for physicians to help them achieve their financial goals, like buying into a practice and paying off their student loans. They're not like a traditional bank. They take a physician's creditworthiness into account with every loan, and they really have the heart of a teacher. They've never had a default on their loans from their borrowers. And I think that's mainly a testament to how they coach their physicians that are looking to borrow money. They have got a great company doing great work, and I'm proud to have them as sponsors. So if you're looking to borrow money for helping to start or grow your practice or buy a car or pay off your student loans or any other purpose, you need to have these guys in your corner. They're a lending company founded by physicians for physicians. Just go to www.thescopeofpractice.com/doc2doc. That's www.thescopeofpractice.com/doc2doc. Or just click the link in the podcast description. My guest today is Dr. Sharon McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin is a serial entrepreneur and the founder of the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Facebook group, which is a very large and growing supportive group that brings women physicians together to network and grow. She has built multiple streams of income through courses, affiliate marketing, and most recently, passive real estate syndication investing. Dr. McLaughlin offers consulting to amplify physician voices. She believes physicians are business savvy and are amazing thought leaders. Dr. McLaughlin's latest interests involve medical policy creation to benefit physicians and digital health startups. She has helped hundreds of physicians around the country pursue their passion, start a business, and develop their entrepreneurial ideas. She has got amazing ideas, and I am just so excited to have her on the show to share those ideas with you. So, without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Sharon McLaughlin. Hey, y'all. I am excited to welcome my guest today to the Scope of Practice podcast, the founder of Female Physician Entrepreneurs, Dr. Sharon McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Dr. Lacey, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you collaborating and networking, and this is something I strongly encourage. So I'm looking forward to our conversation. And thanks for all the work that you're doing with physicians and letting them know that there's things that they can do to increase their income and not be in a financial hardship.
Well, it's one of those things that I think the more we can help each other, the better we'll do. Because frankly, no one's going to help physicians except for other physicians. I mean, everybody's got their own problems. And so we got to be helping each other out.
I agree. I think one of the reasons we can do that, or one of the ways we can do that, is by networking. So having a podcast like this where people can listen to, and then they can reach out to you. And I know that you do physician coaching. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Well, I've been looking forward to having you on. We had you on very briefly about a year ago for just a quick feature to talk about your Facebook group. But as we've been getting requests for more topics about entrepreneurship and business management and things like that, I started thinking, okay, well, who can I get on? I thought, oh man, I gotta talk to Dr. Mack. I gotta call her up. So I'm glad we're able to get this working. So I want to start by just kind of setting the framework for people. In the last few years, we've seen that more physicians are employed rather than employers. And so there's a big shift towards corporate medicine. But at the same time, with the burnout epidemic, you know, raging the way that it has been, we also see a lot of physicians branching out into non-clinical work or other entrepreneurial ventures. So lots of people starting podcasts or starting new businesses or even starting completely like non-medical stuff or non-clinical medical stuff, like, you know, chart utilization and expert medical witness things. And so people are branching out into doing stuff all over the place. And the gig economy is alive and kicking for sure. So why do you think that there has been such a push towards that in the last few years? Why is that becoming such a prominent thing? Is it a cultural shift? Is it because there's just greater access? Is it a combination? What do you think is the driver there?
Well, combination definitely helps as far as the access goes, right? But as far as the shift, I'd have to say autonomy. We've lost our autonomy as physicians for the most part. I think the hours that we work are a lot. I think the expectations are high, and I don't think, you know, the general public understands that. I think what the administration does to physicians as far as the workload, you know, spending 5-7 minutes with a patient and expecting that to be okay, like a good visit that they can bill. It's all about the money. It's not so much about relationships. It's not so much about doing a thorough workup. And so we feel like we're pushed into a corner. I think a lot of physicians feel that way. And if that's the case, then nobody likes to be pushed into a corner and they're going to be looking for other things. So when you mentioned like access, I believe there's a lot of access with the internet right now, with courses, watching other physicians, your podcast. There's lots of opportunities for physicians to find out about things that they can be doing outside of medicine or in conjunction with medicine, or even related to medicine that would help with income. The other thing is our school loans are incredible, right? Most of us get out with, you know, a couple of $100,000 of school loans. And then, you know, we're in our 30s. By the time that we finish, we'd like to buy a house like our friends had already purchased back in their early 20s usually. So it makes it difficult. Plus, you need a decent car to get around, right? Going from hospital to hospital. So there's all, and there's bills and there's kids and all of that. You know, I think a lot of us reassess exactly what's going on in our life and what we can do to change it. I know myself, I look back and I reassess and I say, can I do this for the next 10 years? And if this answer is no, and I encourage everyone out there listening to this, if the answer is no, then it's time to reassess and try different things. You may feel like you're not good at anything, but I can tell you as a physician, you're good at public speaking. You're good at leadership because this is something that you've done, even though you feel like you don't have leadership positions. As a physician, you've led patients, you know, as far as their overall medical treatment and into cures and developing treatment plans. So there's a lot of things that you can do as a physician that you may feel like you don't have skills to do. So back to your question, I believe it's the access, but I believe primarily it's being in a position that we didn't set ourselves up to be when we went into medicine. We went into medicine to help people. It wasn't even so much the money, although that helped, you know, as far as school loans go. We went in to help people. And I don't think most of us feel like we can really help people if administration is being like, look at your numbers. You're not seeing enough people. How do I say it? Maybe even the surveys and feedback isn't good. But I believe that if you're only seeing someone for 5-7 minutes, because that's the average, I believe, then how could the ratings be good? Nobody wants to wait a half an hour to see a physician to only spend 5 minutes with them and then kind of feel like they're being rushed because the physician has to see 3 other people.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are starting to become disillusioned with the idea of corporate medicine. Like you said, when you start having these giant quotas and all these metrics you have to hit, none of which are necessarily evil, but they do detract in a significant way a lot of times from the ideal of medicine and certainly take us away from our first love, which is really caring for our patients and spending time. And so it makes a lot of sense that if people feel like they're losing what is core to the idea of being a physician, which is helping people, they're going to go seek an outlet elsewhere.
I'm on board with that. I believe that.
Well, so what do you say to people who say, okay, well, Dr. Mack, I appreciate that. That all sounds great and all. And I agree, I'm burnt out and I hate, you know, my corporate overlords and I wish I had more time, but you know, I'm not really an entrepreneur. It's just not my thing. You know, I've been in this job for 7 years and I feel like I've settled into a good routine and I don't even know the first thing about entrepreneurship. I can't even spell it. So where would I even start?
All right. I'd have to say having a growth mindset is the most important thing. It's going to be our mindset. And as physicians, we do have growth mindsets, right? The chances of us getting into medical school were pretty slim, yet we were able to carry through. Think about your pre-med years, the undergraduate years. Only a certain percentage got in, and yet you were able to get in. And you didn't say to yourself, I'm not going to get in. Like that was probably not the intention. The intention was, I'm going to hunker down. I'm going to study. I'm going to do whatever it takes to do to get through this. And so if you find yourself in a difficult position right now, just know that, yes, you're going to have to hunker down. It's going to require some time on your part. But there are courses, there are podcasts, there is conferences, there's physician coaches such as yourself that you could reach out to. I think as physicians, we want to help other physicians because we see the burnout rate that's going on. We see the suicide rate that's going on. We see how incredibly some people, they're unhappy, and we want to help others because that's our genuine nature. So exactly where to start, everyone's path is going to be different, but there are books out there that have been written about entrepreneurship for physicians. I like podcasts because honestly, we're pretty short of time. And I actually never listen to a podcast like usually at one speed. I always do like 1.5. 2 is too hot, you know, fast for me. But, you know, you can take a 30-minute podcast and listen to that in like 20 minutes, not even on a drive from work. And you'd be surprised just doing that on a regular basis, what I consider self-development or puts you into that growth mindset is really important. So I think starting off your day, waking up, having a good attitude, like, you know, this is, I'm going to make a change. I'm not happy and I'm going to make a change. And then doing something about it could be on your way to work. It could be if you're exercising, walking around the block, which I always encourage because I'm into wellness. Spending some time doing a growth, like whether it's reading or doing a podcast. And then making sure that you're actually networking because you could listen and read and do courses. But if you're not willing to take action, that's a problem. So one of your first actions that you could be is, you know, maybe developing a list of things that you think you're good at or that you see other people doing. Could you be doing something like that? And then actually have formulating a plan. And this is where a coach may fall into, like may come in to help. You know, how do I actually implement this plan? I think having a coach is good because it's accountability, but you could reach out to a partner as well, somebody else that you feel like may be in the same position. And if you think that other people aren't in the same position, you are wrong. There's so many people questioning what they're doing as physicians nowadays, that there's plenty of people out there. It's just connecting again. And that's why networking is so important. So then, you know, writing up a list, kind of formulating a plan, how I can do this, how can I get from point A to point B? And so whether it's through accountability or it's through a coach, you can do it. May require doing certification. I'm in utilization review. So one of the first things that I did was become certified in coding and billing because I knew that that would be important for the insurance companies. And now I'm going to another certification. So it's always like trying to advance yourself. What else can you do? What else would make you more marketable? And there's, like I said, with the access, which we go back to, there are plenty of things out there. It's just you taking action. You could say you're physically exhausted, and that may be. So if you're truly physically exhausted, there's a few people that come to mind. People started meditation. People started doing different forms of medicine. And now they're actually teaching it. And that has actually increased their income or even surpassed their income in some positions. Again, it's going to be rare that you're going to be able to match your physician income doing maybe, you know, something like meditation or yoga. But you'd be surprised, there's people out there doing it. And if they can do it, then why not you? But find something that you're passionate about so that if you spend the extra time doing it, it makes sense to you, right? And then you're going to learn new skills that you're actually interested in, and then you're going to apply it.
So what about for people that maybe aren't interested in doing some kind of a side thing? Are there outlets for entrepreneurial ventures within the practice of medicine, or are we kind of stuck and it's like, well, you pretty much got to keep doing your daily grind and then try to go find something else to do on the side?
My specialty is outside side gigs, but yes, look at yourself and all the work that you're doing and how you're encouraging others and how you're coaching others. There's absolutely adventures within medicine. You know, maybe it's opening up a surgery center or partnering or investing, taking the money that you're making and investing it in other physicians as startups. Maybe you're not the one doing the startup, but then you can invest money. So you can get into real estate. There's lots of doctors doing real estate. Even though you consider that not a side job, it is a side job. You know, you want to see where your money's going. You can do the stock market. Again, you can say that's not a side job, but it's all ways to invest. Take what you have and then invest it and kind of grow it. And is it risky? Yeah, absolutely it is, but it's better than just being set. And as far as your practice, yeah, there's, you know, adding a medical spa. All these are not, it just doesn't happen overnight. But yes, you can add a medical spa. You could add services to your private practice. So yes, I believe that you could collaborate with other physicians. You could rent out office space. The list goes on and on. It depends on what you're willing to do and what you feel comfortable with.
Well, and you kind of did that yourself a little bit, right? You started a whole skincare line. How did you even fall into something like that? Was it just the right opportunity came along and you said, I'm just going to try this? Or was it something that you were actively seeking to do something different?
Yeah, I first started with a private label. I thought private label would be good. I was a plastic surgeon. I had a cosmetic practice, right? And women would come into me and they wanted just to look better. And honestly, they really weren't candidates for Botox, you know, a small amount, not even fillers. It was just the overall, maybe the skin looking dull. And I was like, honestly, if you just worked on your skin, you would feel so much better and you don't have to spend a lot of money, you know, with the injectables and all that. Not yet anyway. So that's how I got into it. And, you know, any of the skincare lines that you can carry, they can easily buy it on Amazon. When you private label, put your name on the label or, you know, the company's name or however you want to do it or make up a name. Can't private label it, even though it could be the same ingredients. So that's what I started doing in my business to start off with. And it was such a hit that I actually developed my own skincare line. So I had that manufactured. Again, a lot of this is online. You could learn about the different ingredients, you know, and how they affect the skin and what's good for age spots. And I'm not a dermatologist, but I was able to develop a skin line and that did well as well. It depends on what you want to do. It's all out there. It just depends on what's going to work for you. So that worked for me because I had patients that weren't coming into the office. They were just ordering it online and I was able to make money that way. That seemed like to fit my schedule, you know, and what I wanted to do.
Can you talk a little bit about those early days with that skincare venture, just as maybe some examples for us? Because I can imagine a lot of people thinking about this now. They're hearing, okay, all right, Dr. Mack, I'm loving this concept. I love the idea of autonomy. I've got all these different ideas. I am passionate about this. I know that I could make a difference in this other way, but you know, I just don't have a lot of time. If I'm going to do this, I want it to work. I don't want to do this if it's not going to work. And there's no way to know for sure, right? And it's not, at the end of the day, at some point, you just got to try something. But can you maybe talk about some of those early days for when you were developing the skincare line? Maybe some of the challenges that you faced, and you know, how did you overcome that? How did you break through some of those walls?
I can speak for other people. So some people are in practices, right? Most of them, when I was doing this, I was by myself. So I didn't have the barrier of, you know, working for a hospital system or a corporation and being like, no, you can't do this. I didn't have partners saying, it's probably not going to work. Don't do this. So it was all myself. So those weren't barriers, but I know that for other people, this is a barrier. As far as the sales, I would say just seeing what your clientele is, what your patient population is. And if there's an interest, you can, when you're talking to somebody, you could say, you know, what do you think about this or that? And if there's an interest, then you provide a service to them and you give it to them. It's always marketing. I believe, you know, you could have the best of product, but if you're not able to market it, it's not going to sell. So definitely testing the market is very early. That should be done early on. It could be through product samples. Like if we're talking skincare line, personally, where I am now, I know I'm jumping around. It's all about digital products for me because you could do that anywhere. You don't have to worry about shipping. And there's so many things that I've gotten away from when, you know, I had an actual physical product. But testing the market for sure, samples, and knowing that this is not your final product, that you are going to have to change it. Very rarely is a product developed that it's not changed. So just being open to change, and it's not an all or nothing thing. Yeah, definitely testing, like I mentioned, and just keep on getting feedback and changing it a little bit more and just going forward.
So another thing I worry about with folks is with anything that we're doing as physicians, we tend to go big, right? It's how can I help the most number of people? I mean, how can I do the best job that I can for people? And we tend to take too much on ourselves, right? I think that's one of the things that has led overall to the general burnout epidemic that we've seen, is that people are just, they're working too many hours. They're working too long. They're working too intensely. They're getting not enough sleep. They're getting not enough exercise, not enough time with their family. And so a lot of times people see the opportunity for entrepreneurial ventures as not an escape maybe, but perhaps an outlet for trying to channel some of that. And the thing I worry about for folks is becoming burnt out with that. You know, you're adding another thing, right? So how do you avoid getting burned out from the thing that you were using to try to escape your burnout?
I've heard plenty of people say that. So what you're saying is absolutely, it makes sense. And it goes back in my mind to, what are you passionate about? It is like entrepreneurship. If you're passionate about it, what you're doing, the service or product you're supplying, it makes sense to me because, and it's not going to get burnt out because you're passionate about it. It also is an outlet for your creativity, which you've sort of lost in medicine because you're being told to do this or that. So that's how I look at it. I wouldn't look at it like, you know, go spending $100,000 into this project just yet. Test it. See if you like it. See how you feel about it. If on the weekends you have a couple of hours, would you mind doing that? Or do you need to do something else? Would you rather do something else? If you'd rather do something else, there's a problem. This probably is not for you. So does that help? I think like this is how I talk to people when I, you know, when people reach out to me.
No, it definitely does. It makes a lot of sense. And I think like anything, just like with medicine, it's taking some things in moderation and just, you know, just trying to understand your limits and figure out, okay, well, I'm going to try something. And if it doesn't work, okay, it doesn't work. But there's no point in continuing to just hammer and hammer and hammer on things when you're just adding stress and tension for no ultimate benefit.
I always look at those light at the end of the tunnels, right? And if you feel like there's not a light at the end of the tunnel, then you need to do something, right? Because I think that's how some physicians feel that are probably listening to this. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm mentally exhausted. Well, then I don't know. You know, one of the things you possibly can do is speak to work. See if you can get a half an hour afternoon note, like a half a day off. Change it a little bit. Maybe changing your job a small amount, which can kind of just help you personally if you feel like you're mentally exhausted. And then using that time wisely to do something with it. Or, you know, waking up early on a Saturday morning. I'm a morning person, but it could be, you know, going to sleep later on a Saturday night and just spending an hour or two thinking about you and your time and where you want to be 10 years from now or even 5 years from now. If you, you know, you're set with your finances, you're set in a job, but you're not thoroughly happy and you see no light at the end of the tunnel because there's kind of different extremes there, then you need to change it. And how you go about changing it will be up to you. But I'm telling you, there's resources out there to do it. And is it guaranteed that you're going to make money? No, but at least it's better than saying not doing anything, because you'll never know. That's really making a decision. You're making a decision not to take any action.
You know, one of the things that I struggle with just in general, and I have since I was a kid, is disappointment. I have a pathological need for everyone everywhere to like me so much all the time. It's really, really bad. And so that's something I've had to work with and deal with over the years. But I tell you, you know, one of the things that I've struggled with entrepreneurship is failure and rejection. And, you know, it has been helpful for me, I think, to hear from podcasts like yours or other podcasts that I've listened to or read books that all seem to say the same thing, which is embrace failure, embrace rejection, celebrate when people unsubscribe from your email list, because those aren't the people that you were speaking to anyway. And it's hard, I think, because especially for me, you know, I'm Enneagram 3. And so for me, I want to help people. I want people to love me. But if I walk into a room and 100 people are there and 99 of them, I'm their best friend, and one of them is like, you know, he's all right, but I don't know, we don't really have much in common. It's the end of the world, right? So how do we as entrepreneurs then, how do we not internalize those failures and rejections? How do we use that to as motivation to keep moving forward?
Yeah, I think from the start, the get-go, you need to know that not everyone is going to be happy with your decision to do anything. People always have something to say, good, bad. They always have something to say. If you are a physician and you want to dive into a side gig or an entrepreneurship or something else outside of medicine, you may get a lot of kickback or pushback. And the reason for that is because I know it happened with my own family, and I can tell you it happens with many people that I speak to. People are concerned. They're like, what's going on? You know, it's all these years of training and now you want to do something different. Like, I think it comes out of more concern than competitiveness or just being not kind. They may not say the things that you want to hear, but they're trying to be honest. But this is not just inside of medicine. You know, if you listen to different podcasts, like we can talk about Sarah Blakely with her Spanx. I don't know if you're not familiar with it. It's basically undergarments to help tighten everything up. She didn't tell anybody and her family or friends for the first year. She only seeked out mentors and she told them what she was doing and they helped her grow. At least this is what I heard. It wasn't until like a year in when she was pretty, you know, the definitive and for the course that she actually shared what she was doing. And the reason for that is because in the past she had feedback that kind of, that could really be an obstacle. It's one thing for your family, like your parents, siblings. It's very difficult if it's your partner, right? Because you live with them and then, you know, when things don't go right, you know, they may throw that up. So a lot of things that you are going to deal with. That's part of it. The second part is you asked about making everybody happy. Know that you are never going to make everybody happy. Not everyone's going to like you. It's a shame, but if you really want to move forward, you are going to have so many bumps in the roads. And I really think it comes down to prioritizing. Think about yourself, how unhappy you are. If you really want to change, then you're going to take action. And people not liking you or not liking what you're doing or saying this or that shouldn't be a concern of yours. You could take it as feedback, but then put it aside as well and just kind of have the blinders on and go forward. Because the only way that you're going to know is to go forward and try it and really, you know, find your support system. If you're not surrounded by people that are supportive, I am telling you, even within the physician community, there are people. You know, I always call them like the makers and shakers, like they're going forward. Surround yourself with them.
So have you felt like it's been really important for you to have that support network? I mean, do you feel like having that support network at home, as well as the, you know, the mentors and colleagues and peers, is that really important?
For me, it is. But I can tell you, like my own personal, I love my husband, but he has never been supportive with any of these side gigs. He's like, just, you're a doctor, just go ahead. But I don't want to, like, that doesn't make me as happy. From the time I was, I think even in medical school, I knew that I'd be doing things outside because there's so many things that interest me. So I think that it helps. I do believe, now I could be biased here, the people that I see are very successful. They seem to have their spouses. I'm sorry, I should use the word partner on board. It makes it easier, right? It makes sense. But that's not always the case. You know, you will have, it's one of the reasons why I started the group, because I truly felt in my own, I have friends that are physicians, but they weren't interested in doing anything else. My family wasn't interested in doing anything else, just what they were doing. My husband wasn't. So I found myself very lonely and I wanted to connect with others who were interested in doing this. And I thought with the burnout statistics that we know that exist in physician, you know, medicine, that perhaps having an outlet would be a good thing. And since the start of the group, I've seen many people fail, but I've also seen many people succeed, and it's a great thing. Either way, they're moving forward and they're learning, because as we said before, you just need to learn how to fail forward. It's important. You will learn something by failing. You always do, but you will never learn anything by not taking action.
That is absolutely true. I mean, there's so many great quotes on that. You know, the old Wayne Gretzky quote, you know, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Right. And so a lot of it just comes down to just deciding you're going to try something, and maybe it's going to work or maybe it's not, or maybe it's going to work in a way that you didn't expect, or maybe it's going to give you a different idea for something that is going to work later on. So a lot of these early beginnings that are fraught with failure, it depends on how you define failure. You know, one of my favorite quotes I've heard along this subject is, you know, the definition of a winner is a loser who tries just one more time. And I've always liked that, because it kind of encourages me that anytime something gets messed up, I mean, when I first started the scope of practice, you know, my first attempt at building a website was abysmal. It was an abysmal failure. I must have watched YouTube tutorials and listened to, you know, or read blogs about it for, I don't know, 30, 50 hours, something like that. It was a lot. I spent a lot of time putting this thing together and it was terrible. It was so bad and it was laborious and it was tedious. And I realized, okay, this is not my wheelhouse. This isn't fun and I'm not good at it. And I frankly can't see myself spending the money and the time that would be required to get good at this. So I need to find someone that can help me out with that part of things and then let me focus on the stuff that I'm actually good at, which is writing and speaking. And so I think that was very helpful, but it took that spectacular failure, which was super frustrating because especially it was like right when I get out the gate, right? It's the first thing that I tried to do, one of the very first things that I tried to do with this whole thing was put together this website. And it was this brand new thing. It was a new skill set and I completely messed it up. And I was like, okay, well, that took a lot of my time and effort and it was a failure, I guess. Nothing's going to work going forward. I guess I might as well give up. And then I started listening to other people and reading more. And I said, you know, no, one failure does not constitute eternal failure. So, all right. So pick yourself up, do something different and pivot and move on.
I absolutely agree with this. As far as a website goes, we could use that example. Don't spend the 50 hours, not you, because you've already done it, right? But don't spend the 50 hours. You spend an hour or two, and if you're struggling, you watch videos, you reach out to somebody at that point, because there's only so much videos are going to help you. So that's the point, to reach out to somebody and start asking for help. I think as physicians, we have to dot our I's and cross our T's. And if you are in the entrepreneurship outside of medicine, they don't do that at all. Like, I work with digital marketers doing websites, doing email campaigns and whatnot. They make mistakes left and right, and they just keep on going. They put something out there and then 2 days later they change it. There's no dotting their, you know, yes, they have to dot their I's and cross their T's, but not to the same extent that physicians do. With physicians, like when you mentioned you spend so much time reading and learning, I would say, using you as an example, just start doing. Open up the website, start doing. And if you're watching a video and you truly don't understand it, then you reach out to support or you get yourself on a platform. Well, I'm only using website and platforms as an example, but you reach out and you get help and the help is there. And so you've learned that. And I'm so glad that you're coaching now because you've been through the hardships and now you can tell people what you're doing and how, like, this is not the way to spend the time. And that's definitely not the way to give up, like as you said. And I'm glad that you've overcome that and that you've moved on and you're helping people. But using an example of a website, it's good. This is, we do it. We know that we're not getting too far. It doesn't look good. There's something wrong here. Then you hire a graphic designer. You hire someone that this is what they do, you know, or you get help, you know, doing what you're doing. When people spend a lot of time, because I've been there too, it's what I call circling, right? We're just doing circles, like kind of chasing our tail because we're not really moving. That's not moving forward. And even though we're failing, that's not a good way to fail forward because we're not failing forward. We're not moving forward.
So how do you know when you've been working on a venture for a while and, you know, it could be any length of time, it could be weeks or months or even years. How do you know when you've gotten to a point where you're kind of stuck and you're not making progress or things just aren't working out the way that you thought they were going to? How do you know when it's time to double down and, you know, just do something different, pivot, work harder, try something new, you know, and just keep moving forward versus just declaring, okay, you know what? This is not going to work. I do need to give this up. Because that's a really fine line, right? I mean, I've seen plenty of times where people would give up on something and it looked like it was just before they were about to turn the corner. And then some people that they stick with something for years on end when it's clear that it just isn't going anywhere. So how do you make that call?
There's never a good call, I don't think, but it comes from your heart. And I believe that if it's not working, you have to pivot somehow, whether you pivot within that same business and do things a little bit different. There's that expression by Einstein, right? Like, it's crazy to do the same thing over and over again. If what you're doing over and over again isn't working, you need to pivot. Do you have to close down completely? No, but you may want to assess and say, you know, how much is this taking from me? Maybe it is time to close down. But I would suggest pivoting first and trying a different angle. I could give you my example right now. I do weight loss. I've spent a lot of time into this. I made some money, but not a lot. And I will say this, it truly irks me that people without any medical background are able to make money, you know, doing different things, especially weight loss. So then I'm like, you know, is it really weight loss or is it all about wellness and being healthy and nutrition and taking care of ourselves? There's so much with the practice of medicine, if most of us knew more about nutrition, we probably wouldn't have the extent of chronic diseases that we do, because a lot of them are related to inflammation. So I'm thinking about, or I'm not thinking about it, I'm actually in the process of pivoting more to people who are burnt out. And I'm still the same applies, still having to do with mindset and self-care and nutrition. That was what my weight loss program is, but I'm changing the target market to go more for people who are experiencing burnout, because I just feel like for me, the weight loss has not been a dead end. I'm not happy with the numbers that I'm seeing and the progress that I'm making. So I'm going to pivot. Whether or not that works out, I don't know, but something is telling me it's time to change this up. So it makes sense, right? Like if what you're doing isn't working, you don't have to stop it completely, but at least change angles a little bit. And I gave you the example of what's going on with me.
I'd be curious to know from your work that you've done, the interaction you've had with literally thousands of entrepreneurs over the last, you know, many, many, many years. Do you feel like in the wake of the COVID shutdown and the COVID crisis and all the you know, the hospitals and all the businesses that closed down last year and that are still struggling now, do you foresee in the future that physicians will be doing more entrepreneurial type ventures? We're going to see a return to private practice, a return to, you know, alternate forms of clinical medicine? Or do you feel like over time people will retreat back to the safety of corporate medicine?
I think corporate medicine or private practice as we know it is probably no longer, right? I feel like there's a lifeline there. So I don't think things will ever go back to where they were. I think it's extremely important to have multiple streams of income, whether it's real estate or however you want to do it. But my advice on that would be start early. It doesn't matter how much money you're putting away. No, I'm kind of jumping around here, but having that income, side income, however you're going to get it, is extremely important as far as making options so that when you're put into a corner, when you feel like you're not being treated fairly, that you can do something about it. You know, recently I can go on and with stories or whatever, but somebody was in a position recently that they truly said, go ahead, fire me. I don't care. And they didn't really care. They were actually a really good worker. They don't care because they have other options. Financially, they're set and they know that they're marketable because they've taken this time to learn skill sets. They can go out and do other things. And that's a really good position to be in. And I'd like to hear or know that everybody out there is in that same position. But chances are you're probably not. So then what does it take to get in that position?
Well, Dr. Mack, this has been a really great conversation. I know people are going to be interested to hear more from you because we're barely scratching the surface here. I mean, there's just so much more that we can dive into. But if people want to connect to you, want to continue the conversation, want to learn more about some of the work that you're doing, or just, you know, want to explore some of these entrepreneurial ideas with you, how can people connect to you?
My website is Sharon Mack Consulting. It's Sharon Mack, M-A-C-K Consulting.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to have the links to that in the show notes and the podcast description for people. So we'll be sure to get those loaded. So I want to say thank you so much for Dr. Sharon McLaughlin joining us today on the Scope of Practice podcast. Make sure to check her website out, connect with her on social media. She's very active and she's got a lot of great stuff, a lot of great communities that she's working with. Dr. McLaughlin, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. And thanks for the work that you're doing.
I hope this episode inspires you as you're thinking about starting or growing your clinical practice or your side hustle. As always, I love to combine some philosophical truths and some inspiration, but most importantly, some practical application. I thought this was a fabulous conversation, and the principles are broadly applicable across the whole field of medicine, so I hope it inspires you. For today's free resource, I've got a great guide called Creating a One-Liner That Will Kickstart Your Business's Growth. It's perfect on the heels of this conversation about entrepreneurship. If you're going to build your brand, whether it's your main gig or your side gig, you need a great one-liner. The one-liner is also sometimes called an elevator pitch, and it's a way of answering the question, what do you do, or what is your business about, in a way that draws the listener in and makes them interested to hear more. The one-liner is the key to getting started with clarifying your marketing message. I'll give you an example. Here's my one-liner. Most physicians and dentists come out of training with a huge amount of personal debt and little to no idea of how to actually start a clinical practice. The Scope of Practice is the place where you can go to get the resources you need to help you learn to manage your business more successfully and master your personal finances so that you can have the successful career and financial independence that you deserve. So this guide is a three-step guide to creating a powerful one-liner like that for physicians that attracts and retains more customers. You can download it for free by clicking on the link in the podcast description or going to the show notes at www.thescopeofpractice.com/episode94. Also, if you're looking for a Valentine's Day gift for your spouse, you should think about registering for our new online course, Residency Proof Your Marriage. This online course is a self-directed 6-week course that will help you build a strong relationship that thrives despite the stress and strain of a medical career. It'll coach you through setting expectations, communicating effectively, getting on the same page with your finances, and keeping your relationship thriving during a difficult time. Whether you're in medical school, residency, or out in clinical practice, Residency Proof Your Marriage is going to help you build a thriving medical marriage. This is a very inexpensive investment in your marriage. A weekend marriage retreat that you might want to go on is going to cost you upwards of $1,000 between food, registration, lodging, and vacation time. But for this course, you'll get all the great content that you would get in a retreat like that for a fraction of the cost, and you can complete it on your own time as your schedule allows. Just click the link in the podcast description or go to www.thescopeofpractice.com/marriage course to sign up today. The course is also eligible for CME credits, so you can use your employer's CME funds to buy it. Click the link in the podcast description and you can sign up today. The podcast description will also have all the links to the other resources we mentioned during the show. Thanks so much for joining me on the Scope of Practice podcast. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Scope of Practice podcast at www.thescopeofpractice.com.